Right as the world was shutting down in the spring of 2020, Colette Hurd needed to see her doctor. She'd been dealing with terrible bloating and unbearable body cramps. Even short walks had turned into a fight to breathe.
I almost looked like I was about 5 or 6 months pregnant. My stomach was so big. And so the doctor thought maybe I was backed up, and he kept in touch with me. So finally, like in April, he called me. He sent me for an MRI. They said I had a lot of fluid buildup. He thought it was my liver. He was going to send me to a specialist for that.
However, that same day, Colette suffered from cramps so excruciating, she went to the emergency room. The ER doctor ran some tests and discovered her issue wasn't with her liver at all. Instead, Colette was diagnosed with pulmonary arterial hypertension.
I never heard of it. I didn't know any symptoms about it. I probably had it for a while and didn't know I had it because it was really bad.
Pulmonary arterial hypertension is a type of high blood pressure that affects the heart and lungs, and there's no cure for the disorder. After the diagnosis, Colette had the excess fluid in her stomach drained as her husband, Dennis, stuck by her side through the whole process. Doctors then attached a pump to her side that, while necessary, Colette said caused a lot of discomfort.
It contained a medicine called Remodulin, and hopefully, over time, it would open up the arteries in her lungs. And it's a treatment. And some people, that's all they need. Sometimes they may have to wear it for up to 2 years before it's successful. And if it's not successful, then they have to move on.
Soon after that, my pulmonary doctors were telling me that I was going to be a candidate for lung transplant. And I was like, what? I mean, everything was just coming so fast. So I got diagnosed in May. December, I was going to Northwestern to transplant to see if I was a candidate.
The appointment at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago was set up as a precaution so that if Colette needed a transplant in the distant future, she'd have all the tests and paperwork done. The next day, on Christmas Eve, the couple received an unexpected call stating that Colette needed new lungs immediately. But that wasn't all. Doctors had discovered that her condition not only affected her lungs, but had also messed up her kidney.
We got a call saying that I was in chronic stage 3 kidney disease. So I was like, everything is coming at once. It's just like hitting me at once. I'm like, I felt fine, and all of a sudden it just went downhill, you know.
The antibodies in Colette's bloodstream were extremely high. And though there are multiple causes for this, there is only one consequence that matters. Her body would reject new organs. But that didn't stop the medical team from trying. In fact, Colette went through 4 dry runs.
Dry runs is when they call you up and go, we have organs for you. And you get all excited and say that you're going to go to surgery. And then one time, even I would say the worst time was when they got her prepped for surgery, and on the elevator, we kissed, and then they came back a few minutes later and said there wasn't going to be a surgery.
4 times, Colette received a call saying her life was going to change, and each time she was wheeled back with a worsening condition and the same failing organs. Dennis says the organs were either not viable by the time they got to surgery or just simply not a match to Colette. By the 3rd false alarm, doctors decided they needed to reduce the antibodies in Colette's system, which can be achieved through a process called therapeutic plasma exchange.
What that means is to separate the blood into its main components, which are plasma, white cells, and red cells, and remove a specific component, plasma, and replace it with a fresh plasma or albumin, which is a plasma derivative.
That's Lori Harada, senior manager of the technical excellence team at Terumo Blood and Cell Technologies. She says the process, also known as plasmapheresis, is similar to dialysis. But where dialysis removes waste products from the blood, plasmapheresis goes a bit deeper.
So we separate the blood in a centrifuge, which is really a kind of a glorified cream separator that allows the blood to separate by specific gravity, which is by the weight of the cells in the blood. And we remove just one component. And in therapeutic plasma exchange, we're looking at removing just the plasma. Because in some disease states, it is thought that the disease mediator, what's causing the disease, is in the plasma. And if we remove the plasma, we remove that disease mediator, therefore reducing the symptoms of the disease.
Plasmapheresis is used to treat many different types of conditions. However, in Colette's case, doctors believed the treatment would lower her antibodies and force her body into accepting new organs. Harada says the length of this process is completely dependent on the disease and the desired outcome.
Some require maybe 5 to 7 days of daily apheresis procedures. Others with chronic conditions may require every few weeks coming in and having a plasma exchange done for months or years at a time.
Harada says each session lasts up to 2 hours, and patients will often feel a difference right away.
Some diseases, you will see the patient change from the beginning of the procedure to the end of the procedure. Their symptoms are relieved, and they begin talking. They begin making coherent statements because you're removing that disease mediator.
Before Colette's fourth attempt at a transplant, she underwent 10 sessions of plasmapheresis. The treatments were able to bring down her antibodies, but when she went in for surgery, the doctors realized that the tissues weren't compatible. Fortunately, the medical team never gave up.
Colette got sick. You know, she was pretty sick. It's a severe case, but they never once came back and said, "I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do." They thought outside of the box. You could almost see it in their eyes sometimes, like, well, we've got to try something else. We've got to get another solution.
So they decided to take a chance and proceed with a cross match, meaning that the donor organs weren't a match with a recipient. The only way this would work is to completely wipe out Colette's immune system, so there was no chance of rejection. This type of treatment is rare, and Dennis says that after 4 failed attempts, they weren't convinced that this one would take.
I wasn't sure that she was going to have the surgery until I actually received a phone call from one of the nurses in the operating room to say, "Mr. Hurd, the doctor has made the first incision and we're starting the surgery."
They said they had tried it before, but they just never tried it with a double transplant. I was getting 2 and the kidney, so they just said they never tried it with that. But I'm just thankful that they thought outside of the box for me, because I wouldn't be sitting here.
From the time Colette was admitted till the day she finally came home in August of 2022, she was in the hospital for 422 days. She says most of that time was spent in the ICU under 24-hour care. Dennis made sure she was never alone, only missing 4 days out of the hundreds Colette was there. The couple says the hospital staff was also a huge part of their support system during that time.
Those nurses and therapists became like family. They would decorate her room for every holiday. Colette's room was decorated for Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day. They decorated her walker for when she would take a walk. Her walker had decorations on it and just different things to keep her spirits up. And one of the most memorable things I remember, I came to the hospital and I was sitting there with her, and Colette was kind of down. And the nurse came in and she goes, "Colette, we heard you were having a kind of a down day, so we made you something." And they had made this banner out of hearts. They cut hearts out and they all signed them and they stitched them together, the hearts, with the string from the surgical mask.
When the time finally came for Colette to receive her new lungs and kidney, Dennis was not only updating their family, but the nurses, custodians, and therapists who'd been spending every day with Colette. And though she can't yet drive, Colette says she's feeling almost back to normal.
I have some days where my chest hurts a little, but it's mainly like healing and it's itching and I can't really scratch it, you know what I mean, in the inside. But for the most part, I feel good.
After seeing firsthand how organ transplants save lives, the Hurds have become advocates to encourage people to become organ donors. You can find more information about Colette and Dennis Hurd, Lori Harada, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. One final thing before we take a break. Today, I'm retiring as your Radio Health Journal host after 31 years. In that time, we've seen both medicine's potential and how far we still have to go. When we went on the air in January of 1992, AIDS, for example, was still a death sentence. The race for a treatment was intense, and AIDS vastly changed behavior without much argument. Not so, more recently, with COVID-19. Yes, vaccines have saved hundreds of thousands of lives in the United States alone, but we still need to learn how to avoid the misunderstanding and misstatements that have cost many lives more. Some other issues are still unsolved, or getting even worse. Obesity and diabetes, autoimmune diseases, environmental diseases, health insurance, which was the subject of our very first show, and those are just the start. So there's still plenty to tell you about, and I have far too many people to thank to do it here, except for one group, you, our listeners. Thank you for letting me share thousands of stories with you over the years. The Radio Health Journal team is still working hard, so those stories will go on. I'll be listening, and I hope you will be too. I'm Reed Pentz. Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
We get things that are almost as significant, or maybe even more significant in a certain sense, in months rather than millions of years.
How gene editing technology speeds up evolution.
Then why we need to find pain management strategies that don't involve opioids.
He had to have his entire large intestine taken out. And we went home with 90 OxyContins. He was devastated and became addicted just with that one prescription.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Nancy Benson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
Western women, they consider themselves mainstream American women who were just taking advantage of the opportunities that the West gave them.
We travel back to the Wild, Wild West. Then,
the basic core system hasn't been upgraded since the turn of the century, so 23 years ago.
Is flight technology stuck in the 20th century? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at radiohealthjournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.